to tempt your palate, and they make the rounds on the town in a maximum limousine. You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene. Executive Chef Fred Genovese and his guests will cook and saute. They share their food and they share their recipes. Kevin Jenkins, he's a fat man jumping in on the pots and pans. So don't touch that dial if you please. Chef and the Fat Man, Chef and the Fat Man. Why should you ever trust a cook that isn't portly? Show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene.
Man, do you get the whole sound, all the action, all the hot stuff that's happening right here at the American Bass Anglers Barbecue Cook-Off Tour number one, Laurel Park. It is the start of the season. The bass fishermen are out there, and even with this wind, Chef Fred, on Lake Lanier, this wind could kick up 2 and 3 footers out there. When these guys are blasting at 60, 70 miles an hour in those boats.
A little chop going on, I'm thinking.
Yeah, but,
you know,
man,
what, though? They get after it. And you and I know that despite what people think, all they do is sit around, drink beer, and fish.
Not at all.
You know? There's a lot of off-season work that goes into it. They got to make sure their equipment's right. It's just like Team Barbecue.
Yeah.
If you're not dead on, you're out. It's that simple. I mean, you know.
And you're out a lot of money.
You're out a lot of money, and your sponsors want to know why. And we're talking, with barbecue, it could be a taste that is so different than what they're looking for. You could be way off, not knowing. But with the bass fishing, it could be a matter of ounces.
You know, today is National French Bread Day and California Strawberry Day.
Really?
Yeah, how exciting is that? California strawberries, huh? You know, Florida strawberries. Ugh. What's that town down
Plant there? City,
yes,
baby.
Plant City strawberries. And they're not too terribly far away. We should see those another month or two, huh?
Yeah, we should. Well, the crops have gotten hit hard by the winter.
Did it?
Just like the tomatoes and everything right now, it is extremely going to be tough. They're not going to be as good as we'd hoped for from everything I've heard. But, you know, it's one of those things. When I lived in Tampa for a while, we used to go to Plant City for the Strawberry Festival.
I hear that's awesome.
Well, way back when, in another decade or two, you used to go and there was a bowl, Kevin, and it was probably, I don't know, a 5-quart bowl. And I remember my mom paying $5 for each of us. And you'd go, and there was a huge, it was almost like a holder bowl full of fresh-cut strawberries and syrup. And they'd give you a sponge cake or an angel food cake. Oh. And you'd put it down, load as much strawberries and whipped cream, and you'd walk around with this bowl just eating until you could eat no more.
That's a beautiful thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Speaking of beautiful things, I know we've had a lot of interviews, but that's because when we come to these special events and we can meet these great people that can really, really share some exciting things with you. It's not just about food all the time on Chef and the Fat Man. We also give you the ambiance, or as we say in Chicago, the ambience.
Ambiance?
And the ambience. And you also get the Papa of Peppers. Now, Papa, you have been stroking it over there with the mini egg.
Yes, the mini egg. And I are friends now.
Well, is there an egg you're not a friend with?
Yes, the Easter. I'm not really that fond of the Easter egg, but except for that, we've got that cornbread cooking on that mini egg. I was going to saw the handle off of Fred's nice old 80-year-old cast iron pan so that the lid had closed.
Well, you know, Mike, I appreciate the sacrifice you're going to make, but I don't know that the fish in I don't know if the fish in Lake Lanier would really appreciate you swimming with them.
That's true. That's
that
true.
Is what would happen with that 80-year-old cast iron
as your
pan.
As your trike motor goes flying off the back of your boat because someone disconnected it. I don't know how that happened.
Yes, how that happened.
Well, you know, this is really kind of, you and I have a great in-depth appreciation for bass fishing.
Oh, we do.
And this is a great place, and this is a great time. And the ABA and the Bassmasters, that's the creme de la creme of bass fishing, babe.
You know, it certainly is. Can we divert for a minute away from bass fishing?
Yeah.
And talk about fishing?
Absolutely.
Okay, right here where we are in the Chattahoochee, there's a bunch of S's that are just a little bit south of us, south and west of us.
Uh-huh.
And in those S's in the Chattahoochee, is I've caught more walleyes than you can imagine. Along those steep banks in that fast-running water, they get down there in behind the rocks, and just this time of year, you find one, you're going to find 50. And
Walleye are awesome.
That might be the best fish that ever doggone swam, best tasted. That and crappies.
Well, and you're absolutely right. And being a northerner as I am, we used to go up to Lock and Dam number 3 in Alma, Minnesota, when the walleye were running.
Oh, yeah.
And we would go up there and you'd rent a spot.
Coolers,
on the, you'd rent a spot on a fishing pier that they had to take you from one side of the river in a little ferry that would leave at 5 o'clock in the morning, run you out there. And they built a restaurant out there. Let me tell you, Minnesota, at that time of the year, late October, oh, man, early November, bitter cold, wind blowing, wet. And we would get out there and all that ice and we'd be fishing. You'd be standing shoulder to shoulder with people for hours. But, man, the walleye.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anyway, but bass fishing, back to bass fishing. This is a good area, too. There's a lot of largemouth in this end of the of the lake. And but my guess is, and this is just a guess, and we may or may not hear the results of the bass fishing tournament while we're here today. But my guess is that spotted bass is going to fill the doggone creel here today, and it's going to be a spotted bass.
What do you think pound-wise? I think it's going
to
take probably
18 to 22, something like that.
Yeah, because there are some big spots out there.
Oh, there sure are. I talked to a fellow this week that caught 9 in 2 days that were over 3 pounds. So.
Wow.
Yeah, you gotta, you're gonna have to have some
time on the water, though.
Yeah.
Isn't it a little early?
No.
Oh, no.
No, they'll be on the, they're going to be on the nest. We're fortunate here, Fred, that we get 2, sometimes 3
spawns.
And the first spawn is in the high 40s, low 50 temperature degrees.
That works.
But anyway, we are, of course, not just about bass fishing and not just about Y'all Magazine. We're about cooking. And, Chef Fred, you've got your cornbread on. Now you're getting ready to work on your shrimp and grits.
We're working on shrimp and grits. Grits are done. I cooked them in a little bit of chicken stock instead of water. Adds a lot of flavor to it. Added just a little bit of sharp cheddar cheese. That'd be 16 ounces or a pound. I like cheddar cheese. Some zesty love rub.
Yep.
And then we went ahead and added another stick of butter. And now for the grits, we're going to go ahead and add in our onions and peppers and celery. This is going to be kind of a different shrimp and grits. And that might, you know, there's a bazillion recipes out
there. Is there a wrong way to make it, you know?
Don't make it. It's
you know,
about the only
you know that, that time we were down there in Jekyll Island?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want another look at another grit in my life. We ate so many.
We did eat a lot, didn't we? But, man, I tell you what, some of the flavors that win and all the, you know, the different ways to cook things, absolutely amazing as far as that goes. But we've got some onions, peppers, and celery in there right now working. Hit it with a little bit of pepper.
You gonna put that tomato paste in there?
Yeah, a little bit of tomato paste is going to go in there.
Okay, that'll be good.
That'll be a little bit good. We got a little chicken stock that's going to go in there. But
well, like, is it official to say chicken stock?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
Do you know, Kevin, the difference between a broth and a stock?
Yeah, about 42 cents a can.
Okay. Now?
All right.
Mike?
Maybe 4 hours.
It's a bit more like 4 hours, but stock is made strictly from bones. As clean as you can get them.
Right.
Broth is like the whole chicken. So, you know.
Well, I'm telling you, Chef Fred, you have been amazing. Now, speak about a guy who's got it together. Y'all remember Keith Sisson, the associate publisher of Y'all Magazine. Now, he made a promise, and this man lives up to his promise, unlike some media reps.
True.
This guy, a very powerful mogul in media, has brought something over here,
mogul.
Chef Fred.
Mogul. I like it.
Yeah, there you go, mogul.
In the time that we've been gone, we've done our judging, and I brought you the winning sweet tea.
Number 11.
Yeah, number 11 won this year. Now, I'm going to say the answer here on the air.
Okay.
Because we haven't announced this yet, but Tina Scott, she's from Lebanon, Tennessee, and they're here with a barbecue competition team, and she submitted sweet tea for the sweet tea competition, and they won hands down.
Hands down.
Sweet tea right here.
So, all right, well, we got a tap.
We're going to get y'all a glass. Go ahead and take a take a swig of that and see what you
think. I'm going to drink it right out of the jar.
Yeah, drink it. It's a mason jar. You know, we serve these sweet teas in mason jars.
Oh, you won't like this. It's sweet, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
What do you think now?
Fred, sample. That's a taste.
Nice balance. Mike's got a knife behind me. I don't know what he's doing. Mike, that cornbread should flip right out. I just tried to flip, and I think
now
it's going to flip
good. Now, that's a sweet tea right there. That is a sweet tea.
That should flip right out.
But you know what's nice about it? Even though I don't like sweet tea, very mellow. Very,
it's
very
not offensive.
Mellow.
It's not offensive,
right.
Yeah. You know, we found, in doing this, we found there is a sweet tea line across the South, and Tallahassee is our sweet tea line. So, you know, this people from Lebanon, Tennessee, they know good sweet tea up there in that part of Tennessee. But, you know, the sweet tea line, once you get a little south of Tallahassee, not much sweet down there.
Well, one thing is for certain, you definitely picked a tea that I could even drink.
That's a good one right there. That's a good one. You know, and going north now, sweet tea is expanded out of the South. Now, you can get sweet tea up north now. You know, McDonald's has sweet tea, and it's good sweet tea, and they serve that at every restaurant in the country. So people, for the first time in Seattle, Washington, out in Portland, Oregon, up in Portland, Maine, they're able to get sweet tea.
And their tea is timed 3 hours. That's it. And they dispose it.
Really?
Because they realize that. And I know tan is probably not the right word for it, but the acidity in tea conflicts with the metal that it contains in, and they found that plastic, the tea slowly starts to eat into it, and bacteria and such grow, which contaminate the tea flavor. So, like you said, as far as purist and tea go, there it is right there, the mason jar.
Well, we had number 11, the team. What barbecue team? Do you know what barbecue
team? I don't know what their barbecue team is, but Tina Scott is the person from the team that brought that up here. I'll try to find that out.
Yeah, I'll have to find out, because I want to go down and shake her hand and say I finally tasted a sweet tea. But if you go to Chicago, as I did about 6 months ago, I was up at home, and I went into the restaurant. I sat down. The lady goes, "What do you have to drink?" And I said, "Unsweet tea." And she looked at me, and she goes,
What other kind is
yeah,
there?
Yeah, unsweet tea. And she goes, "Sir, that's all we serve." I said, "I forgot. I'm back in Illinois." But anyway, Keith, congratulations once again. A great idea with your great tea, sweet tea challenge. The tea is magnificent.
And I see our chef here has brought the cornbread out. So sweet tea and cornbread go very well together.
Well, anything with him and sweet tea.
You know, they have. I don't know if y'all have ever done this, but up in, I believe it is in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, they have the World Cornbread Festival every year.
What is it? Lily? I think, one of the big mills up there.
Yeah, and the same people that do the Grand Ole Opry, I can't think of their names right now, is the sponsor. But they do the World Cornbread Competition, where there they have a buttermilk drinking competition in mid-July.
They can have it.
In mid-July. Well, that's
if it's
judging.
Not bad enough, if it's not bad enough to have that kind of competition, they do it in 100-degree weather in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee.
Yeah, I can think of nothing better than sitting down with an ice-cold buttermilk in 100-degree temperature. Oh, man. Keith, thank you so much, man. What a pleasure meeting you.
Sure.
Well, I'm sure we'll...
Thanks for the tea.
We'll meet on down the line. And,
I hope so.
I'm going to have y'all sent to my house, because I absolutely thoroughly enjoyed the magazine. From cover to cover.
Appreciate that.
Very family-friendly, very
There's
very
something in here for everybody.
It really is. Thanks so much, Keith. Food, fun, and celebrating his good life. Chef Red's got the cornbread out the oven, or the egg, and he's doing his shrimp and grits. He'll finish that up. And when we come back, more food, more fun, more celebrating the good life. No better place than the American Bass Anglers Barbecue Cook-Off Tour. It's the kickoff for the cook-off right here in Laurel Park in beautiful Gainesville, Georgia. Population? I have no clue. Well, excuse me, my friends. I'm eating cornbread right now. Wow, Chef Fred, that was great.
Pretty good.
You know what? Keith took the sweet tea. The blagger.
He did!
That's okay. I got the water.
There you go. That's all that matters.
Well, Chef Fred, when we last left you, we were doing shrimp and grits, or you were doing shrimp and grits, and you had the grits already made. Quickly run down how you make your grits.
Grits, I use chicken stock. Just follow the recipe on the back of the thing. Add the grits. Get the water up to boil. Whatever stock you're going to use and flavor with. And then off of that, add your grits, constantly stir, get them cooked through, and then when they're done, add your butter, add a little heavy cream if you want, add cheese of any type of sort. Love rub definitely always helps, that flavors them. And you can take these grits, pour them into a casserole, refrigerate them, let them set up, cut them into whatever shape you want, diamonds, triangles, squares, whatever, and then you can grill them. Put them on the egg, put a little oil on the bottom, and let them char a little bit. And you can just go ahead and bake those or grill those and have grilled grit cakes with a habanero cheddar or a horseradish cheddar. Absolutely phenomenal. So into this one, we've been sautéing the onions, peppers, and celery, which is the Trinity, versus the Mirepoix, which is onions, carrots, and celery. We added some mushrooms, some chicken stock, some clam juice. We're going to bring that up to a boil, and we dusted those vegetables with a little flour to make this thicken up just a little bit.
Because you don't want it too thick.
Don't want it too thick, because the shrimp are going to let go of a lot of juice when we finally add those in there. And we're going to finish this off with a little bit of tomato paste. One of those things people are always like, Yeah, I got tomato paste, but I don't know what to do with it. It's a concentration. That's all that is. So once we get this up to a boil, we'll add a little bit of tomato paste. Stir that around. We're starting to get a little bit of bubbles on the side. Cast iron is a great thing.
Yes, it
takes
is.
A few minutes longer to heat up and get hot. But man, when it does, it is the best of the best, hands down. So this is going to go ahead and come up. And like I said, we've got the mushrooms. Haven't added the shrimp, but we need to season the shrimp. So we've got them in a Ziploc bag.
Mike, what better way to season it?
There you go, with a little bit of Zesty Love Rub. Not tons and tons, but enough to coat. Why did I do the shake side when I want the pour side?
Yeah, there you go.
That's what's cool about this, too. We got both sides on that.
That's
and it's
right.
a good size. I'm still a fan of our original container. What was that, a quart?
Yeah.
20 ounce. Absolutely wonderful. So these are just going to shake up a little bit. And then whatever, get ready to pour those into. All we'll do is just pour that whole content in there, and whatever extra lover up comes off will be absolutely perfect. So this is almost up to a boil. We're going to take maybe about a good tablespoon and a half, 2 tablespoons of the tomatoes paste. And we're going to switch over to a whisk as soon as I can find my whisk. Somebody stole my whisk. Okay, so anyway, while we're looking for the whisk, we'll get all this stirred in. Starting to break the surface, get a little thicker. Again, add anything you want to this. It's perfectly fine, but we don't want any of those lumps from the flour in there. You can open that up and get really warm real quick.
Now, you also want to make sure you dissolve that tomato paste. Because, man, I'm telling you, you bite into something that's so good and got such a complexity of flavors, and you get a big glop of tomato paste.
Yeah, it gets real intense real quick. We've also been cooking with a bay leaf, which we'll take out in a little bit.
So how many times have you gone in and done recipes and stuff where people throw in the bay leaves and forget to take them out or they lose them, and then you bite into it?
You know, it ruins a dish real quick. And since you said that, I know the day I'm having, so I'm going to go ahead and pull that bay leaf. It's been in there for about 15, 20 minutes. And that's the leaf of the laurel tree. And if you can get them fresh, oh, the flavor profile is even that much better. So now we've got this kind of rich red, almost pinkish type color. We're going to... This is a very special Crystal hot sauce.
Oh, is that the Saints?
This is the Saints one. We hunted when we were down there from Mardi Gras. You were with us. We went to so many different shops. Wasn't even funny. But where did we finally find it? But one of the Meccas in New Orleans, Central Market. A great Italian market that's been there forever and a day.
Do you know what I just acquired?
What's that?
An NFL official football signed by Drew Brees, number 9.
What?
Yes.
Where'd you get that? eBay?
eBay. But what was amazing was it's got the picture of him, a photograph of him signing that ball, and it's got the COA, a certificate of authenticity.
Right.
They were going for anywhere from $450 to $750 with his number on it.
Right.
Delivered $75.
What? How did you
it's
do that?
Sitting on our mantle. I don't know. It was on a obscure site that I saw, and I just happened to be breezing by, and
right time, right place.
Yeah, right time, right place. So I said, well, you know what, I'll bid 75. It was at 62, and it was a short cycle for the bid. And the next morning I woke up and said, congratulations, you won. And my last bid of 75 got it.
Stood, huh?
And man, it was delivered. It's sitting on my mantle, and I told She Who Must Be Obeyed that I was thinking about giving it to somebody, and she said, you will not.
No, you know what you need to do? You need to get a crystal box for that.
Yep, I'm going to.
A nice crystal box that'll stand up in it.
Yep,
and
it's got his picture.
And then that $10 newspaper that you bought the day after, have that right next to it. Wow.
I'm going to have mounted into one large frame all three wins. I've got the front page of all three papers of all three wins.
Nice.
So it's going to be very cool there with the football. That'll be a nice, but Chef Fred, I got to tell you, man, that shrimp and grits, I mean, the sauce, the roux, kind of a roux that
like,
you're making
like
here, it's beautiful. Beautiful color.
Great color, and that love rub's going to start breaking off and flecking the sauce. And we'll let these raw shrimp, and these are big, large, 12 to 16 count shrimp. We're going to let those go until they're just cooked. Don't want to overcook shrimp. Something that can really just kind of ruin a dish is a chewy, overcooked shrimp. Very, very.
Guess who's coming up here?
It's a. Stand up?
Yeah, you know. Hey, we'll get you the celebrity chair, okay? We got the man that's going to be joining us here in a few seconds, Chef Fred. He is the man that has really started he was barbecue television before barbecue on television was cool.
Really?
Yeah, he helped make barbecue on television cool. We're talking about Mark Ferris, and he's going to join us here for a few minutes. Now, here's a guy. You talk about a man who's been all over the barbecue world, who knows everybody upon everybody, and has got plenty of things to tell us. He's going to share with us some of the adventures he's had out there, and he's going to share some of his thoughts with us about barbecuing and how well it plays on television. And we're talking a little grill masters.
I wonder if he'll dish any dirt, shall we say, or
I don't know.
Throw any coals around.
He's a pretty classy guy, but I'm sure if we try hard enough, we can get something out of him.
Maybe a little food prep, you know. Yeah. But I mean, he's probably had bazillions. He's had the best barbecue, and
he
can't dish dirt around food.
That's true. It makes it gritty. You're right. I apologize.
Well, Chef Fred, that looks absolutely phenomenal.
Yep. Now we just got to wait for the shrimp to cook. So this is where the patience comes in just a little bit.
Well,
grits will hold, so they're good.
While we're
looks
being patient.
Too.
Oh, very.
Yeah, I only use 8 ounces of cream, not the full 16.
Well, what a tremendous honor it is and privilege. You know, this show, we've already had tremendous guests. But this gentleman right here, I think it was last year, it was a contest up near the Budweiser plant.
Cartersville.
See, I go by landmarks that I'm familiar with, the Budweiser plant. At Cartersville, of course, we met Mark Ferris, and the man, he's got tremendous forearms and upper arm strength, because he is a man that, I don't care how hot it is, he lugs around this big old camera, and he goes out and he gets the best of the best of all of the best competitions, all the best competitors. And now he's got some new projects he's working on that we're going to be talking about. Let's welcome Mark Ferris. He is Barbecue TV Network. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Good to be
here. Let me get our cheap and shameless cookbooks out of the way here and throw your camera up there and take a rest off.
Good. Thank you. That helps.
Oh, man, that's quite a camera you got there. Tell us a little bit about that beast.
Well, this is one of the new Panasonics. It shoots SD chips. So we don't have to worry about tape heads getting dirty.
Yeah. How much does that thing weigh?
This one only weighs about 16 pounds.
That's all. 16 pounds carrying it around like a sack of potatoes all day. Well, Mark, like I said, we met you last year at Cartersville. You've been to so many places. And your barbecue TV, tell everybody what. It's really neat. I mean, if you really want to get inside barbecue, this is the place to go.
Barbecue TV actually started about 20 years ago when I acquired a video production company, and a friend of mine, who was also a certified barbecue judge at the time, said, why not produce Barbecue TV? You missing me? And it was started as a joke, and now we're in... We were in 196 markets in syndication, and a small company called Google asked us to be one of their content partners, and so we are a content partner with Google, and we started on what they were going to call Google Video, which is now YouTube.
It's amazing, isn't it?
We feed YouTube regularly, and we are in the process of producing a series of barbecue cookbooks. For
Neat.
Candy Weaver, and for Myron Mixon, and for Tuffy Stone, and for Paul Kirk, and Mike Mills, and the guys who don't know how to cook barbecue, guys and gals who don't know how to cook barbecue.
Well, now we can argue about that one. I think you did mention a couple that can't cook barbecue, but that's my own personal opinion, you know, and being the host of the show, and with no credibility, I have all the commentary I want, but, you know, it's amazing. I mean, really, you really started barbecue on TV long before it was cool. I mean, nobody ever thought about it. And it was there were just a few fanatics. But now, this industry has just exploded.
Well, people are more interested in staying home and cooking for their family and friends. And this is how they can learn how to do it.
Now, let's talk a little bit. Mark, you have seen... Well, at least 20 years of barbecue, and you've seen the competitions. And, man, you know, 20 years ago, I can't imagine it was as big and grandiose as it is now.
Oh, it's changed dramatically. There were, I think there were six teams on the circuit last year that made in excess of six figures in prize money.
You know, 20 years ago, six figures was $100 and a penny. Now we're talking a real six-figure. Mark, could you hang with us for a few minutes?
Sure.
We got to go to a break. When we come back,
We're going to have Chef Fred is going to finish up his shrimp and grits. He's got some more recipes for us. So we're going to talk about breast milk. That's right. And a chef that has turned it into cheese in his restaurant. Food, fun, and celebrating a good life. Chef and a Fat Man taking it to the streets of Gainesville, Georgia, baby. Well, my friends, Chef and a Fat Man back at the incredible, wonderful start of the barbecue season, at least for Team Barbecue, the American Bass Anglers Barbecue Cook-Off Tour, brought to you by Early Times. And Chef Fred, we are joined by a guy who was really the godfather, which I know is language you can appreciate.
I can relate to that.
He's a godfather.
Siciliano, eh?
There you go.
He's the godfather of barbecue television, and he is Mark Ferris. And Mark, we've known you now for about 9 months, but it seems like forever because you're always so gracious. You always sit down and talk with us whenever you're in the area. And
we're glad to promote barbecue and the fact that it's a family event.
And that's key. It really is. I mean, families come down here. You see kids all the time now, and it's great. It's like almost like a carnival atmosphere.
And there are a lot of families that cook together. A lot of trying to remember the names of the teams.
Well, I know
bring their kids.
Well, and you know, husband and wife combinations are big out here. Sam and Diane, they do a great job. They've won a lot of things.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of great cookers out here. But let's reflect a little bit. What is the single biggest change that you've seen in the pro barbecue circuit? Good, and one that you are least happy with?
The one I'm least happy with right now is that the judges are judging better scores for sweet barbecue. And sweet barbecue tastes great, but it's not true barbecue, in my opinion, as sweet as it's being cooked now.
And, you know, I've heard a lot of competitors say that, too, but that is the trend. And how does that happen?
It's just how the American palate is migrated. And the teams pay attention to the scoring. And after each event, the event organizers provide scoring sheets. And they look at who is scoring what, and they know how they're cooking it. And if it's sweet and it's scoring high, then that's what the teams are cooking.
Well, you know, I had a chance to sit down with probably, arguably, the king of barbecue. And arguably, but having spoken with him, Myron Mixon. And Myron's
actually a much nicer guy than TV is projecting for him.
And, you know, that's what I really like about what you've done. With your barbecue TV, you capture the essence of the real people. It's not the Hollywood people. It's not the conflict people. You actually captured the real essence of the actual person. And yeah, there's some egos out there, of course. Anytime you win a lot, you can't help but have it. But I think you brought up a great point about Myron Mixon. Myron and I sat down. He had never met me before. We talked for about 20 minutes before we went into the interview. Kind of did a pre-interview to find out kind of what's happening in his world and get a chance to, as you know, when you're doing interviews, if you can talk to them beforehand and get a feel for their patterns and their thought processes, it makes the interview go a lot better.
Yep.
Myron couldn't have been more conversational, more straightforward, more, you know, just down to earth. And then you see him on this, and he's like,
he can be a gracious host, just not how he's being projected on TV.
And that's where I think what you have done has done more to give the good side of barbecue. And listen, I give all the kudos to Grill Masters. They've created a show that's like quote-unquote reality TV, but it's kind of like they've portrayed him as a Simon Cowell of barbecue, and he's really not that way.
You were smiling when he mentioned how they portray people, because you're kind of behind the scenes, and you know, you get some shots in there that most people don't see on Grill Masters because your access and your knowledge and such. So what was the smile for with that?
Well, you have to create some drama if you have a weekly show like that. And they, in my opinion, they've scripted the competitors.
And that's a great point. But more back to what you've done. Now, what are some of the things you've got coming up this year? Now, you tell us a little bit about the cookbooks and what they're about and how people can get to those.
Well, the video cookbooks we'll be doing for many of the people that are on Grillmasters and others that are decent barbecue chefs. And they'll be recipes that you can use. A heat source is a heat source is a heat source. So just because they're cooking it on wood doesn't mean you can't cook it on gas.
Right.
And it'll be for people that are going to bring people over, family or friends over that evening and need some ideas real quick. And they will be on paper download. Google actually has a beta site that is paper download. And four new Internet Protocol television networks will be up.
Amazing.
Doing the same thing. Hulu has actually got a paper download site now, too.
So now you'll be actually able to access these cookbooks. Tell us a little bit about what the video cookbook is.
Well, the video cookbook will be a series of recipes, 4 to 7 minutes long. Start off with the ingredient list, which you'll need to go shopping if you don't have them in your cupboard. And there'll be simple things to buy. And there'll be, I'm told by the chefs and the cooks, that they will be items that you don't normally think of as going together. That's as far down that road as I can go right now because I don't know where they're going with it.
When do you think you'll see the first video cookbooks? And when they do come out, where can people go to get them?
They'll be available online. So you can go to Google and you can go to one of the Internet Protocol Television, open Internet Protocol Television networks that they'll be on. And it's my understanding they have a choice of watching them with the ads or downloading them and watching them without the ads.
That's awesome. And once again, you're on the cutting edge of everything barbecue. You're on the cutting edge of everything barbecue and television, thus barbecue TV. Now, tell us a little bit about some of the exciting things you're going to be doing this year.
Well, the National Barbecue Association is expanding rather rapidly. I happen to be on the board there, too. And we have just changed management companies to grow more robustly than we have in the past.
Well, you don't have to look at me and Fred when you say robust, okay? I think that's kind of inappropriate, but this is a television, so they couldn't see it, so I had to throw you under the bus.
And the National Barbecue Association is an umbrella group for not only the sanctioning bodies that sanction barbecue contests, but manufacturers of grills, smokers, sauces, rubs, equipment, caterers, barbecue restaurants, enthusiasts, the whole nine yards.
Well, congratulations, Mark. I mean, in just a short 9 months that we've known you, just to hear all your exciting ideas, all the concepts that you're creating, all the things that you're doing, you really have been and will forever be. I am sure when history is written on barbecue, you will be the godfather of barbecue television. It's an honor and a privilege to be in your circle. We're glad that you were able to join us, and we hope that as we meet along the trail, that you'll be able to join us future, and as your new ventures come to fruition, we want to share them because, my friends, when Mark Ferris puts his name on something, you can count on several things. Number one, it's going to be a first-class production. Number two, it's going to be done tastefully and correctly. And number three, especially in a video cookbook, you are going to see people as they really are, not as the producer perceives they should be for a rating. Congratulations.
And you will see some of the stories behind the recipe. And there are some really interesting stories behind some of the recipes.
I had, when I sat down with Myron, I heard some of them that didn't make the final cut. But it's great. Mark, congratulations. It's a pleasure, my friend, and I know we'll see you along the trail often this year.
All righty. Thank you for the time.
You bet. 16 pounds and plus heading out. Mark Ferris. Great guy, Chef.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the cool thing is he spends time with everybody. You know, he's an equal opportunity informant in the sense of talking to everyone, see what's going on, where their mindset is, what the judge is looking for. And it's interesting that the sweetness is coming out. I thought it would head more towards the, I guess, spicy.
I would have thought, too, but no, they're sticking with the sweet again this year, it looks like.
And, you know, well, I guess we'll find out, you know.
Today.
After Team Barbecue gets done, and, you know, because there's, I don't know that I could describe there's a sweet. I wouldn't describe, I'd call it probably pretty much middle of the road. It does have a little essence of sweetness to it, but, I mean, very slight. But, again, it's one of those flavor explosions in your mouth when you taste it, because every chew is different.
Yep.
You know, you may get a little piece of fat in there the second time, and it may break down a little bit. And the first one's breaking down even more. So, because you can't just put one bite in, chew it up, and swallow. You got to kind of gnaw and chew and gnaw and chew. It's a beautiful thing.
And what I love about KCBS is they are pretty adamant about the fact that when you bite in, you should be able to bite in. You should leave your teeth marks, and it should pull away.
Yeah.
Just slightly. So it's not a fall off the bone rib. You know that where you whack the bone on the side of the table, it all falls off. No,
exactly.
this is really, really good barbecue. And man, I'm telling you, Bobby was a little concerned about his ribs. Man, if those don't do something, there's no justice in America.
I tell you what, and like Bobby said, Bobby is extremely humble too.
Oh, and what a guy!
He's the first one to tell you. You know what? We missed on this one and that, and you know, like they said, you know, it all started last night with the prep and everything else, and it went extremely. I think extremely well, but we're not judging, so we don't know. You know, they could come up and it could be no walks, no calls. You don't know. And that's the thing about it is that every week, you just hope you don't get the same judges every week. But if you start to get the same judges, then that's why they move around. Not necessarily just to Gainesville or to Cartersville or to Kennesaw, but he goes up to Washington, Sevierville, Tennessee, and he goes out to Arkansas. And I think he's
heading down to Louisiana the first week of April.
Yeah.
It's incredible, my friends. Chef of the Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs, today live at the incredible American Bass Anglers initial barbecue cook-off tour for 2010. We are here in beautiful Laurel Park, right down here along the Chattahoochee, which of course feeds into the mighty Lake Lanier, where a little later on they'll be bringing in the bass. And, you know, we're thinking it's going to take a good 20 pounds to, we could see 20 pounds, 18 to 20 pounds to win this contest. There's some big bass out there, and what it's going to take to get a walk, what's it going to take to win Grand Champion or Reserve? We don't know. We're going to find out here pretty soon, though, my friend.
It's going to be interesting to see. And when we come back, I got a couple questions about the bass tournament thing for you.
We'll have a couple answers for you. We got another recipe. And we're going to tell you about the breast milk cheese. What in the world is that all about? Oh, my friends. Oh, man. Chef Ray, where'd the time go?
I can't believe it's over. This has been absolutely amazing. And you know what? We didn't even get to half the recipes, but you know what? Who cares? You can go to the website, chefthefatman.com. We got plenty of them there for you. Check out those. And what we didn't do today, the scallops and such, and the dump cake. We're going to be at the Big Green Egg next weekend.
Week. Yep.
That'll be two that I promise we'll get in. We'll throw those in kind of early, so we make sure we get them done. But when you're here, you can't not talk to these people who put on the show, that put on Barbecue TV. You get an
Y'all
insight,
Magazine.
Y'all Magazine. You get an insight into what Team Barbecue kind of goes through. I mean, you think about it and you're like, yeah, I'm a good barbecuer. Come on, bring it on out here. And then let's see. Taste theirs and you're going to be like, okay, I'm sorry.
Well, my friends, we've been telling you about the New York chef. He is, of course, a New York chef, and he's not Richard Blaze. I want to put that out there right now. It's not Richard Blaze.
You know,
doing
Richard's
that.
Upset he didn't come up with this one.
A New York chef has been making cheese dishes from his wife's breast milk. Daniel Angerer, he is the chef and owner of Klee Restaurant in Manhattan, came up with the idea a few months ago after his wife gave birth and she began freezing her excess breast milk. Now, it has been reported that Chef Angerer serves the cheese dishes in his own restaurant. But when I heard that, I thought, there is no way on earth the health department's going to allow that to happen. Well, he told the BBC that he was not allowed to do so. He explained that he actually makes this cheese, and Raymond Sokolov, a food critic, gave his verdict on the finished product. But I'm thinking that he actually made this cheese out of his wife's breast milk, and I just can't think of anything probably more gross.
No, I got to agree with you. I don't.
Like I said, don't panic, my friends. It's not here in Atlanta. Richard Blaze had nothing to do with this one. He's on the cutting edge of a lot of stuff, but breast milk cheese ain't one of them yet. No telling. He may take a variation of that because he goes all over the place with his recipes.
And there's a sense of if you want to set yourself apart, if you want to be different, if you want to go crazy and be this great inventor and stuff, I think there's certain things that are off the menu. I think that would be one. And also that blessed restaurant in California that served whale.
Yeah, whale.
Excuse
Why would
me?
You serve whale?
Because it's new and nobody else has done it. Well, guess what? Not only is it wrong to do, secondly, It's a federal offense.
It certainly is a federal offense.
And the restaurant is shut down, and the owner and the chef are facing 20 years in prison for that stupid, retarded dish that
was
created. You know what?
I'm really
good
hot.
With the liquid nitrogen, and I'm good with the foie gras milkshake. I see the creativity and taking
salmon
great
lollipops.
I see all that, and I understand all that. But, you know, come on. You know, that's like, no. That's like saying, hey, tonight, don't tell anybody, on the menu, we're going to have deep-fried umbilical cords. Hello? Come on.
Or bald eagle.
Yes. That's
a great idea. Well, you know.
Come on.
Did you ever remember that movie that they did? What was it? Who was that actor? Guy, great actor, great comedic actor. But he did a movie where the whole movie was around this guy, this guy that was selling exotic animals and cooking them. And they were inviting all these people who spend this ungodly amount of money to come, and they do this fabulous five-course meal. And he had to go down and get what was it? It was a creature. It was like a big lizard.
Gila monster.
A Gila monster. But anyway, it was a danger thing, and he had to bring him in from the airport. It got lost, and he's running through the airport. He went to go to the bathroom at a gas station. The thing hopped out, and he's chasing it around. The whole thing was a comedy, but it was all about there is a cult where they actually have people that eat that kind of stuff, and I think it's wrong. The breast milk, the whale, come on, folks. If that's all you can come up with to make a name for your restaurant,
then
get out of the profession.
Exactly. And you know what great show, I think it's Dave Zimmerman who goes, you know, and goes to like Ethiopia and stuff, and he has what they have as national dishes. That's totally different. But let's get off that. So let's move on to something great. Like, we're being here in Gainesville, and we're going to do more barbecue competitions.
Yes.
You know,
at least, I'd like to do at least a half dozen this year because they're fun, they're entertaining, you get to meet some great guests, and I'm sure we'll be able to talk to Myron down the line and get some of these other great chefs. Of course, we'll be following Team Barbecue
in the top 15 in the country.
Tales of the Barbecue Trail.
I was fortunate to get a couple tastes as I walked down through there taking pictures.
How did I know?
Duh. And one fellow said, well, what do you think? I said, I mean, you really want me to treat you truthfully? He said, yeah, I wouldn't ask you. He said, it's already turned in. I said, well, your ribs are underdone. I said, take a look at them. I mean, okay, now we know. By now we know the difference.
Yeah.
Heck, I knew the difference before I started to come to competition barbecue. But
I thought I knew the difference. Then I was schooled.
Competition barbecue just is so humbling.
Why don't you go to KCBS school, man?
I am.
Are you? Good for you. Yeah. I think that would be great. Because then you could give us some insight from the judging perspective.
Well, as soon as there's a judging school open close by here that's less than a couple hundred miles away, I'll go.
Yeah, you know, I think I might even enjoy joining you on that. That would be fun.
It would.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But anyway.
Oh, you have to have a refined palate, though. I mean, you could be excluded.
I think not.
What? You know,
you're going to have to drink the Bud Light, baby. You know, and I'll join you, though. I'll be nice enough to join you. Yeah. You know, but anyway, my friends, that's what it's all about. Chef of the Fat Man is about having fun. It's about having food. It's about having a celebration of the good life. And I got a couple questions for you, Chef Fred.
Okay.
There's a section of Central Park, and this is kind of food related.
Okay.
And it was renamed to honor John Lennon. It was a famous Beatles song. Do you know the name?
Yes.
It's National Day in California is today.
Strawberry Fields forever.
That's it, Strawberry Fields. And due to bad harvest, there was a shortage of Japanese-grown rice in 1994, so that Japan's Imperial Palace began serving royal meals to the Emperor and Empress with rice grown in the United States.
There you go, California.
China and Thailand. Let's see. Also, on this date in 1999, Bertrand Picard and Brian Jones did something monumental. They landed in the Egyptian desert, having completed the first around-the-world hot air balloon flight. They carried fresh food, including bread, cheese, and pre-cooked steaks to last for 6 or 7 days. After which, they made do with dried food such as cereals and powdered milk. The flight began in the Swiss Alps. How many days do you think it took to fly around the world?
Well, let's see. The movie was 80
days.
If
you can get within 5 days, I'll say you're very good.
19. I was within five.
That's right. 19 days, 21 hours, and 55 minutes. They covered 29,000, 56 nonstop miles. Now, I wonder if they got elite flight status on that through AirTran.
Well, I just want to know where the Lou is.
I don't want to challenge your dog or math skills, but 14 is also five away. Okay?
I didn't say it wasn't, but I went over the actual retail.
Yeah, but see, he was actually one closer. That's good Catholic school upbringing.
Always competition.
That's right. And what better competition than to be here at the heart of the barbecue world today? It is the American Bass Anglers Barbecue Cook-Off Tour kickoff 2010. It's been a riot, Chef Red. We're here in beautiful Laurel Park. The judging is going on as we speak. The tabulations will be going on. And in about another hour or two, they will be announcing the winners, but it'll come after the bass weigh-in. So I think it's getting close to having to move things inside.
I think so. I feel a few little liquid sunshine drops coming down.
Well, I hope you all get out and celebrate National French Bread Day and California Strawberry Day. It's always very popular at Casa Jenkins, especially this time of year.
Yes, exactly.
There are so many, many, many people to thank to make this happen. First and foremost to Team Barbecue, which is Bobby Cressup, and, of course, Charlie and Tom. And Charlie is the man that used to be because he's lost so much weight. He's done fantastic.
Shelling himself.
Also to the gargantuan of goodies, Executive Chef Fred Genovese, and to Deborah Talley, the National Marketing Director for American Bass Anglers and Bass Masters. Yes?
Oh, no, and also to Keith Sisson, Associate Publisher of Y'all Magazine. Great magazine. You need to get hold of it. You really do.
Mark Ferris of Barbecue TV and the NBA.
And Deanne Stock, the keeper along with... she who must be obeyed, the website.
Absolutely.
They together may have pulled it off the other night.
Well, I saw it this morning, so I know we're still good.
Yeah, they did an amazing thing. Mike and Deanne, was up all night working on two different things, her projects for work and the website, and by 7:30, 8 o'clock the next morning, we were back up and going again. So they really did an amazing job, and of course, we can't do enough about the website. Of course, the website will be showing on our appearance page. Will be going up as soon as you tell me what day, either January 29th or June 29th or June 30th. We'll be in Chicago, Taste of Chicago. We will be doing the demo from the cooking stage with the greatest chefs in the world to come to the largest Taste of event in the world. They've asked us to come, and we've graciously accepted.
I can't wait. One of the ones I really want to meet and look forward to is Rick Bayless.
Rick Bayless. We will go by his restaurant. I don't know if he'll be in town. You know who we have to suck up there, too, Mike Stock. He knows him real well. Chef of the Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs, would also like to thank the producer extraordinaire who keeps us online and in time, Linda Genovese, our engineer extraordinaire who makes sure we stay on the air, she who must be obeyed, Karen Jenkins. To the Papa Peppers, the man who no rule abides by.
True.
But a man who sets a standard when it comes to peppers. The Papa Peppers, Mike Stock.
Thank you.
And Chef of the Family, the Blue Collar Chefs, has been presented by the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking vessel. And by DiscoverIreland.com and by the Georgia USO. I'm your host, the Fat Man, Kevin Jenkins, reminding you as we do each and every week to remember our troops and first responders. They are the reason we continue to enjoy the freedoms we enjoy so much. The price of freedom
is never free.
Before we extinguish the flames of the mobile kitchens of Chef and the Fat Man, we please remind you to remember our friends in New Orleans. They may be bad. They may be bigger, badder, better than ever.
And have a Super Bowl, baby.
And then we have the World Championship football team. Hey, stop it. And Mike Stock will be forever bitter because they did. That's right. But New Orleans is back, my friends. Please continue to support them. We'll be down there for French Quarter Fest, Tales of the Cocktail. And who knows? We may be going to New York.
Nice.
You never know. When we come back, my friends, we hope that you'll stay with us. Stay right here on AM 1160, the talk of the news, Talk 1160, the talk of the town. God bless everyone. We'll see you next week.